because you don't want to come off like some warrior on every job, even though you feel like that's what you need to do. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting. And I'm like, man, I just wanted to brush some hair today. I didn't want to have to be a protester. You know, you got like, your setup is a brush, comb, ouchless elastics, and a picket sign. You know, yeah. It's like, this is too much. Like, does anybody else go to work with this type of pressure?
Hey everyone, I'm Jessica Kroll, the Allure Features Director. In this episode of the Allure Podcast, digital editor Jihan Forbes and I interview celebrity hairstylist Nikki Nelms. Nikki uses her clients, including Janelle Monáe, Solange, and Yara Shahidi, as a canvas for what can only be described as art. In this conversation, we discuss how a chance encounter with Lil Wayne started her career, how her incredible imagination led to her becoming the hair MacGyver, and most importantly, how the talents of Black hairstylists have been used and copied, but rarely applauded in the beauty industry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jihan Forbes.
And I'm Jessica Kroll.
And we're here with hairstylist Nikki Nelms to talk all things hair and also a lovely little special project she has coming up as well.
Yay!
Talk a little bit, I guess, about some of the work you've been doing. You work a lot with Janelle Monáe. Mm-hmm. You create all these super gorgeous, crazy, otherworldly creations. So can we talk a little bit about how you got into the industry?
I've always done hair, you know, since I was a kid. I've just been into it. I didn't think it was a thing because everyone that I knew around me could do some form of hair, whether it was braiding or whatever. But I went to college, and fast forward, college, dropped out, met a girl in college, and she suggested that I work with her mom and moved to Fort Lauderdale and started working there. Got bored with working in the salon and started doing music videos. That was really big at that time. And then I got a personal client, Lil Wayne, and then I started touring with him and met different people. And so it was just like progressive, you know?
I think it's so interesting what you're saying about you always knew people who were doing hair. Mm-hmm. I think that is so common, particularly in the Black community.
Yeah, I didn't think that hairstyling was like a career to mm-hmm. aspire to because it was so easy. I thought that doing hair was something that you did when you couldn't do something else, like a fallback career, mm-hmm. you know? It was like, hey, going to college doesn't work out. Maybe go to vocational school and get your cosmetology license. I looked at it that way because I didn't know all of the opportunities that came with it, you know, yeah. until I met, it was a lady that worked in a salon in St. Petersburg, where I'm from, and her name was Donna, and she owned a salon called Sheer Essence. Mm-hmm. And she was so popular then, so it was like, needed to be on like a wait list for like months to get an appointment with her. And my aunt Cynthia had a standing appointment with her, and I thought she was so fly, you know? And then one day I opened up this magazine and Donna was in there, and like, I think it was Ebony or Essence, but just that image of knowing her in real life and seeing her in this magazine let me know that there was more. From then, I started looking at it a little differently, you know? Like, it's more to hair than just, like, booking appointments locally. Like, you could go to another level. It was small, but it affected me in a big way, you know? So I realized that you could do more with it.
For you, that decision to leave college and then embark on this career, was that a really tough decision?
It was kind of easy because my grades weren't great. Mm-hmm. Not because I wasn't smart or couldn't do the work, because I was doing like well whenever I went to class, but I was choosing to skip class and do my friend's hair instead mm-hmm. of yeah. like taking a major test. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, you can't keep doing this, you know? So I think it was like an English lit class. I met this girl and she was like, you should drop out of school and go work for my mom in Fort Lauderdale, Miami. And I was like, are you crazy? Because I'm going to be an educated Black woman, whatever. But she was just like, okay, all right. And so went home for the summer and I saw her mom's salon and her featured in this really big magazine, like a hair magazine. And I was like, this is who she wanted me to go and work for. Now I can do this, you know? So went back to school and I just quit. I called home. I think I asked my grandma first. I was like, you think my mom's going to be mad?
Yes.
And she was just like, do what you have to do, you know, because my grandmother is my lawyer, my family lawyer. Yeah, you know, like, if you have anything to say to me, say it to her, and then she'll, whatever. So she's like, call your mom and tell her. And so I was like, all right, I'm out, FSU, bye. And so I quit. I went and got my hair license and cosmetology license at Lorraine's Beauty Academy in St. Pete. And it was so good. They had two courses, morning, night. I went to both of them. Like, I was like, this is so fun.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
What were some challenges, I guess, that you faced when you were, like, just coming up, especially just starting to work more with celebrity clients?
The first challenge I faced, I'd always, like, when I was working on music videos and stuff, the girls were, you know, pretty girls, just do some curls or whatever. And I'm a hairstylist, so I wanted to do like more of that and grow. My first personal client was Lil Wayne. He is the total opposite of the direction I wanted to go in. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you have to, you use what you have till you get where you want to be. So I worked with him for a long time. So I would say my biggest challenge was not breaking away from him, but proving to people that I could do females' hair, because they started labeling me as a groomer.
Yeah. Mm.
And I was like, no, I'm not a groomer. Like, he's just my client. And so, like, I'd meet, like, female celebrities, and they'd ask, like, well, you only do dreadlocks? And I'm like, actually, this is my first, you know? So that was from that situation, I know I could flip any situation. Like, taking a client that only has dreadlocks to selling myself to be able to do women, you know?
Yeah.
And creative styles. That was the hardest thing I've ever done to date. And it was funny because he was really supportive. Sometimes I meet celebrity women like around him, and, you know, he was so sweet. I love him. Like, he'd find me off in a corner talking to them or trying to sell myself. And then he'd jump in and say, no, she's really good. Yeah. Like, trust me.
That is so cute. Just the image of Lil Wayne just popping in, like, advocating. It's like, no, she can do anything. Like, it warms my heart, really.
We'd be on set and I'd give out my cards, you know, and they looked like, you know, all like test shoots with girls in different styles or whatever. And sometimes the models would say, like, you didn't do that, you know, because, you know, I'm with him and this, my card looked nothing like that. And then he'd jump in and say, yes, she did. Like, it was really sweet and brotherly.
So who was your client that allowed you to start after Wayne, mm-hmm. Lil Wayne, who was next that really allowed you to break into doing women's hair?
I would say Solange was the one. I met her and she was going to go to this party and she had the pink eye. And she couldn't, you know, she didn't want to go in sunglasses because that looks so, like, stuffy and, like, whatever. And so I was like, I can help you. And so she was like, I don't know, like, my mom does my hair, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, no, trust me or whatever. So I cut her a bang, like, remember Sharifa bangs?
Yeah.
I cut her a Sharifa bang to cover the eye.
Yeah.
You know, and it worked. And I was like, pink eye be gone. And so that was like, I think that happened in LA or something. I don't know, whatever. So I lived in Florida. She would visit Florida sometimes. And so we started a relationship like that. Like, I would just go and do her sometimes. And that was like way before a seat at the table, like so many years before, you know?
It's so funny how a lot of your rise is all about this networking, right? It's a lot about being in those rooms and talking to those people in the corner and kind of pitching yourself in addition to having the right skills.
Yeah.
Do you have any like networking tips? Like,
I've always just been myself. I never mastered how to like play the game. Yeah. And I think that was my selling point because I genuinely wasn't playing a game and people aren't crazy. Everybody's looking for the same thing, just something real. Even when they are pretending, they still want something real, you know? And I was genuine, you know? So that was my strategy. I get asked a lot, like, what's some things that could help you to get on or whatever. And I just feel like your individuality, your individual key into wherever you're trying to go, you know, because if you're busy pretending and trying to be something else, like when your blessing comes along, it's going to miss you because you're disguised as something else, you know? So you want to be you so that when it comes for you, you're there and ready. I know people that reinvented themselves and tried to do certain things that they felt would get them to another place. And it really didn't. That's never been my way. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not that type of social person. Mm-hmm. So I just, when I meet you and know you, I'm going to have a genuine heart-to-heart conversation with you. Whatever, then we'll figure out where it goes. But just be yourself. You have to.
That's good advice.
Who are some of your hair icons and inspirations?
Honestly, like I have a lot, like my aunt's like old pictures of them and my mom, like their style. I reference them a lot. But as far as like celebrities, I love people that took chances, like Patti LaBelle when she used to do the fans.
Yeah.
It's just those things. I just remember like no one else doing them. And then I see her, a picture of her, and I'm like, wow, either she was like courageous or just didn't care. She just didn't follow a blueprint, which I like. So I love people that just took chances and did their own thing and chose to not go with what was going on at that time. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, you know, we have the Diana Rosses and, mm-hmm. you know, the obvious.
As someone who's looking at hair on the red carpet in real life, et cetera, a lot, one thing I've noticed is I feel like Black women in particular are taking, I wouldn't say more risks, just different kinds of risks when it comes to hairstyles and mm-hmm. like playing with different textures and all of that stuff. I remember back in the day, like in the 2000s, I'm just going to date myself a little bit when I was but a youngster. Mm-hmm. I would see more, it was more a beach wave, mm-hmm. you know, like that typical standard kind of look. And do you think that now... I mean, obviously it's different now, but I think, what do you think maybe the catalyst was for? Because now we've got like your Solange's who's doing these like elaborate, like basically hair sculptures now.
For me, clients like Janelle and Solange that take the red carpet by storm and they don't follow the norm and they don't really wait for approval. I kind of feel like there's nothing new under the sun. But they put some fire under some people and then they make it look cool because they are cool and being themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think it initiated a movement. Like, who wants to be left out of looking cool?
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's what happened, because I know when I started doing a lot of these things with Janelle on the carpet, like, it's funny, I read a lot of stuff now and they're like, pearls are the new thing this mm-hmm. week. And I'll just scroll down in my Instagram and I'm like, I remember a few years ago and it was like, we were doing it, you know? And then I would notice. So I just think it takes a certain type of person to not care about what people say or think. And they really just want to do something that reflects their personal style. And I think people will see their confidence and they'll see how fly it looked after they did it. And then they'll do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like clients like that, they just help to push things forward. They really do.
When I look at your work, I think of art.
Thank you.
It's very artistic. You recently did a shoot for us for Allure Magazine in March that is just so artistic.
Thank you.
And I think that as a woman with natural hair, it's like, wow, I didn't even think to do those things with my hair. Like,
right.
Bump the twist out. I'm going to start, you know, wearing Afro picks out because it's hot, because it's cool, because our hair deserves to be treated as artwork.
Yeah, see, it's always been cool to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always thought of it as cool. I think that's one of the many issues I have with sometimes with us, because I feel like we have to wait until we're validated mm-hmm. to believe that what we offer is okay and cool, or we have to wait, or we choose to wait until we're imitated to believe that it's cool, you know? And people will imitate you and still not appreciate you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've always thought of whatever a person brings to the table, their natural selves, it has to be cool. It's you know? Seeing us on the red carpets now, doing what we've always done.
Right.
Think about it. The stuff that you're seeing now, you can see the reference from somebody that you saw with that style, like from back in the day, you know? But now it's just like on a bigger platform. Mm-hmm. You can't be so excited when you're like finally appreciated. Mm-hmm. Like if you are accustomed to or used to appreciating yourself, it's not as exciting, you know? Yeah. It's like when someone...
About time.
It's like if you really have on like a really cute outfit and you know you look so good. Like if somebody told you you look good, I mean, it's cool, but you kind of want to say like, I know,
you know? Thank you. Duh.
Like, or like you go out with expecting that compliment. Yeah. And if somebody doesn't give it to you, it's like, what's wrong with them?
Yeah.
They don't see all this. So that's kind of how I look at it. And so now when I see us everywhere and our texture everywhere, I'm excited, but I'm also like, oh, y'all kind of late, you know?
I just think about how earlier you were saying people coming out and doing these kinds of hairstyles and wearing them proudly is like kind of the catalyst, like for more people, like just regular every day trying to do that. And to me, it's interesting that it's important, I think, makes it what you do more important because people have to see examples in order to know like the possibilities of what they can actually do.
Well, I hope this situation of like seeing your crazy hairstyles of being included is an example as a whole for like life, you know, like just because someone's accepting you now, it's no different than what you've always been. If it's yours, love it. It's enough, you know, it doesn't require someone else's approval or imitation or whatever to like it, you know, just love yourself, whether you're seeing yourself or whether you're being glorified, it's still you. Love it. They'll catch up, you know.
Because don't be late, but they'll get there.
Yeah. I get a lot of DMs, like parents, they DM me about how their daughters were so happy to see like a picture, style that I did. And they're like, I'm going to hang this shoot up in their room as art so that they can see themselves as being able to do anything, you know? And I'm like, wow.
That's powerful.
It's bigger than just like being a hairstylist, I guess. I didn't think so, but stories like that, I feel good.
You never realize until you're in that position, like, just who is watching you and how it affects them.
I know. Social media lets you know quickly. Because I'm like...
It's a blessing, it's a curse.
After the break, we'll talk about the challenges Black hairstylists face in the industry and the hair essentials Nikki always packs for a job. Every month, our editors test hundreds of beauty products, and you can get some of our favorites in the Allure Beauty Box. For just $15, we'll send you a box of up to 7 items. At least 2 of those are going to be full size, and a mini magazine that includes tips from our editors. New members get a special gift valued at $15 or more. Sign up at allure.com/ABB. Welcome back to the Allure Podcast. Our conversation with Nikki Nelms continues.
So I also have a question. Obviously, getting into styling and the level you're at is obviously difficult. Like getting into any industry is difficult. But what in particular for Black hairstylists who are trying to get into like hairstyling, maybe red carpet, maybe movies, what is the biggest challenge I think that you think a lot of Black hairstylists are facing these days?
Sometimes I feel like, well, there's been situations for myself. I've worked on like campaigns, and this was early on because they'd never be able to try me like this now. Mm-hmm. I was hired on as an assistant for a campaign, and it was like all the top Black models. Nice. It was beautiful. I was hired as the token Black hairstylist, mm-hmm. you know, and they, so I did everybody, all of the girls, the models, and the hairstylist and his other assistants. He had a whole team, and they just stood and watched in awe and asked and had their little notepads. And, you know, so I think the biggest challenge is sometimes our aesthetic is required, but they're not offering us the jobs because sometimes we're so hungry for it that we'll go on as like an assistant to be there, but then we still don't like get the credit. If you feel like that's your only way in, you know, it's like no real benefit. So I feel like you have to know your strength and power and sometimes say no to things.
Yeah.
You know, like it's strength in a no. And it may not work out the first time, but it'll work out. But I'm not here to tell somebody what to say no to. Mm-hmm. Because I've done jobs that, you know, my friends would be like, I would never do that. You know, but it helped me get to where I am now. But I think a big challenge that we face is just not being invited properly mm-hmm. as an assistant to do. We're invited as an assistant to do the key work. And I think the way that has helped me is I work with clients that when they see that, they won't allow that because there was a shoot that I was supposed to do, a huge shoot. They didn't want to use me as the hairstylist for the client, but the shoot was centered around the look that I had given the client. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty much like them saying, we'll take it from here. You know, and my client was like, no, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. If you liked her work, then you technically like her and there's nothing wrong with it. You've already approved of her. The fact that you would go out and find someone else to try and recreate something that she has done, you don't need to do that. You don't need to outsource. We'll just use who originally did it. So sometimes it's not a battle that you can fight by yourself. Mm-hmm. You need some more power behind you, mm-hmm. and it may have to come in the form of your client. It gets weird like that. It gets really weird because nobody wants to be the one to look combative and like right. not a team player and all of that. But man.
But these are all things I feel like it's a weight to have to fight for these things that you should be appreciated for.
Yeah,
like you created the idea, but now you have to go and finagle your way into getting what you already deserved.
Yeah. And then you have to act super. Well, I mean, that's not how I move. I'm me all the time, 100%. But you have to be mindful of how you speak and how you're taken. And mm-hmm. it's too much. It's yeah. too much. So I just talent first with me and anything else that you need from me, it follows. Like, but if you're hiring me for my talent, then not saying that I'm going to show up to work and be like a rude whatever, but hire me for my talent. And then all of the other like little personal hangups you have like that comes secondary, mm-hmm. you know, but sometimes you have to force people to see what you bring to the table. It takes sometimes the client to stand up for the situation mm-hmm. because you don't want to come off like some warrior on every job, even though you feel like that's what you need to do. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting. And I'm like, man, I just wanted to brush some hair today. I didn't want to have to be a protester. You know, you got like your setup is a brush, comb, ouchless elastics, and a picket sign, you know, yeah. It's like, this is too much. Like, does anybody else go to work with this type of pressure?
Yeah.
But, and it's not even that serious. I'm like, guys, we're just talking about a ponytail here, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but it's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes that extra stuff is projected onto Black hairstyle or just like Black people doing anything really. Mm. Like a lot of times just like everything we were talking about earlier, like, why does everything need to be a struggle? Like, why can't it just be like a hairstyle?
It's a lot. We deal with a lot. I'm thankful that, you know, these conversations are being had now and things are changing. You're seeing more shoots like I did with Allure, and, you know, seeing more of us on covers. And mm-hmm. someone asked me recently, do I feel like if I feel typecast? And that's a lot. That's a big conversation that I have with a lot of my peers. We talk about it all the time. But I realized, like, when you're typecast, they usually try to put you in a box and then they give you all one type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that we're even being, like, fairly typecast, because it's like we work with a client, get them to a point, and then they want to hand them off for the, like, glorified moments, like the covers mm-hmm. or the campaigns. So if we were typecast, we would at least be able to get all things our texture right. at every level, not just like do and goes or, you know, like little one-offs. We get the big things, the campaigns and the covers and the, you know, fashion stories and whatever. But that's not necessarily the case all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing that I really want to see change in the near future.
Right.
I just want it to be fair. Mm-hmm. I just want everyone to be booked based on their talent only, you know? Mm-hmm. If you can do it, do it. If you can't, don't. Don't put someone else out of a job just because you feel like you're entitled to it because of a position you've had once before in life or whatever. Right. Little things like that. Nothing major.
A lot of times they try to pigeonhole Black hairstylists, and I find typically that Black hairstylists often have a wider amount of textures that they're able to work on. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we'll work with wigs, we'll work with straight hair, we'll work with 4C, everything. And then I don't get that from, you know, there's a lot of stylists that even I sit down in their chair and they're just like, I like what it's doing now. Bye.
Right.
You know? So
anything that you don't know, it will intimidate you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just suggest for any stylist, Black, white, whatever, if there's something that you don't know, just learn about it. Mm-hmm. Because clients, they are not dumb. Mm-hmm. They can feel from your touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, whether yeah. or not oh, yes. you know what you're talking about, oh, if yes. you're scared, mm-hmm. you know? So just why wouldn't you want to learn? Why wouldn't you want to learn more so that when you get a client that is like unexpected or they don't expect you to know, you can shock them. Like, no, I do know how to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's for anyone. Right. You know, anything that intimidates you, it only does that because you don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
You know, so just know enough about it. Mm-hmm. That's it. All you can do is be yourself and be true to you so that whatever obstacle you come against, whatever texture you're facing, if you did your research, took a class, bought a mannequin head, tried, practiced at home, you know, you're more comfortable when the time comes for you to, like, produce. I mean, I don't know everything. Nobody does. But when I don't know something, like, I try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like being, like, nervous and scared. Even though I use it as a tool to, like, get me to another level sometimes, but I don't like being scared because I know nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have to know how to do something. I would never, like, take a client that would require me to do something that I knew nothing about.
Right.
I'm like, why am I here? I should have just stayed home, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I'm doing them a service, and it's just not a good look. And we have social media now. Like, they will call you out.
Oh, yeah. As a woman with natural hair, I sit in a chair, and as soon as, like you said, that first touch, I'm like, wait, clearly, mm-hmm. let's talk about it first, because that discomfort, I mean, it creates this mood in the client.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, and when you're in certain situations, it's the client that's going to have to, like, speak up. If it's in terms of, like, hiring or, you know, bringing up the hairstylist that they prefer on, sometimes you need that person. If you aren't in the position to be able to do it or don't have the invitation to fight for yourself, sometimes the person in the meeting has to do it for you.
Mm-hmm. Importance of advocacy.
very important. Mm-hmm. Like probably 98% of my career is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's important, I think, for people to hear, you know, that we have to advocate for each other. Because like you said, you have people advocate for you and now you can advocate for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And we just bring each other along and really help this industry grow in the way that it needs to grow.
The main thing is while you're waiting to be put, quote unquote, on, like, learn everything you need to learn so that when someone fights for you or speaks up for you, you don't make them look bad and you really can deliver. Like, I feel like we live in a time now where everything is about looking like you can versus really being able to. And that's my thing. I go to work and I really work. Even if I glamorize it or whatever, like strip it all away, I'm going to work. I'm not going to embarrass my clients because I know how hard they've worked to get to that position. The last thing they need is for their hairstylist to mess up a deal. You know what I mean? Just because a person that they fought for now can't produce. Now they look like your decisions aren't always the best. So it just does nothing for the movement when, you know, so you have to, when you are a team player, you need to know how to play, you need to play your part and learn and be knowledgeable and be a problem solver and just have a range, you know, don't focus on just one aspect of hair or one type of hair, because then you become the thing with your client that you're fighting against with other people. Like if they only know how to do one style and they're just, they're no good to their clients. So now they hire someone under the table to do it for them. Now you've become that person just because you didn't educate yourself, you know, don't become what you hate, if that makes sense, you know?
Yes.
So that's my thing. I'm always like working for my clients. Always. I'm always trying to think of new things for them, the best products for them. And they trust me. Mm-hmm. They trust me. And I can't mess that trust up.
And speaking of which, I think you stay, you have a very distinct kind of style that you've stayed true to, staying true to yourself. And I love how you create these hairstyles and you use just objects that I would like never even think like I would like even put in hair. My question is, I wonder, what is the weirdest thing that you've used in a hairstyle?
This probably isn't the weirdest thing, but it's the weirdest thing that I can think of right now. One time I had a shoot, and a lot of times they don't really give you a lot of heads up on the wardrobe or whatever, you know, sometimes. So I don't think I packed enough stuff or options, and I needed something like white to go into the hair. Like it was, they really wanted it and I didn't have anything. So I went over to the nail tech's table and she had, you know, like those squares that you use to take off polish.
Yeah.
So I asked her, can I have a bunch of those? And she gave them to me and I cut them into like little triangles, like just snipped them in different size triangles and glued them to a pin. And they were just like this angular thing. And it was really cute.
That's why you're the hair MacGyver, okay? Because I would have never thought of that. You're just creating things from what you see, your environment.
Yeah, I mean, the moment will tell you what to do, you know? When your back is against the wall, which is also a tool I like for my kit. Like, I like that sense of, like, urgency or, like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Like, that's a tool that I use. It's cool. It'll take you places.
But when you do have time to prep, what are you packing in your suitcase? Because I've seen your suitcase on Instagram. Ugh. Coming out, you've got about three large suitcases when you travel. So what are, like, the essentials that, okay, I know I'm going to be creating something unique, but I need to have X, Y, Z as a basis.
Well, I need things that are going to keep the hair healthy and make for easy, like, styling and not going to, like, stress the hair out. You know, a healthy head of hair makes for a fun head of hair, you know? So, of course, I keep in all of my goodie essentials, strong rubber bands, elastics. You know, those are, like, the basics, like brushes that are, like, heat resistant. You never know when you'll need to, like, do a quick blowout, you know? Hairpins. Like, those are the basics. And then you have the other side of the kit with everything but the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Because within your job, you never know what someone's going to ask for sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes we're places where there's not a beauty supply nowhere, like, near it. So I have to be the beauty supply store.
Speaking of, somebody's doing something with Goody, which we are very excited about.
West Goody. Yeah. This is so amazing. Like, I'm really excited. Like, really, really. I called my mom. I was like, this is so major, because Goody has been a staple in my household growing up since forever.
Same.
You know, like,
yeah, right.
It represents, like, a good hair accessory,
yeah.
a durable one, you know, something that you know is going to hold up. It'll last from you to your little sister. Like, you know, it doesn't give out the rubber bands, the knockers, the barrettes. They're always so cute. And I love that now, looking back, it's like nostalgic, you know? I'm their first, like, brand ambassador. Mm-hmm. And they've been, you know, around since 1907.
Wow.
That's a long time. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to one of my aunts. She still has a comb from, like, the 70s, yeah, from Goody. And it's, like, my favorite comb, and she will never give it to me. But hopefully me mentioning her on this nice interview, she'll feel really special, Norma, Auntie Norma, and give me the comb. So, like, but just situations like that speak to the lasting power and just the durability of this brand. And I love working with things that help me to work better at work. Like, I don't have a lot of time to waste around with little things that are weak. Sometimes I have 5 minutes to make a ponytail. The last thing I need is for an elastic to break on me,
right,
mm-hmm, while I'm trying to create an updo.
So what's some of the stuff that's actually in the range that you're doing with Goody?
We're doing Planet Goody, and we have the texture tools, different brushes for different hair needs and hair textures and hair types, even extensions. They have a brush for that. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a paddle brush that has, it's wider, which you're able to, like, cover more hair space if, yeah, the person has, like, a lot of hair. I run into that problem a lot with clients that have, like, a lot of hair, and then I'll have, like, a smaller brush, and it takes, like, more time for me to blow it all out. Mm-hmm. They have this really awesome pick comb that I like, because it has, you know how you have the rat tail comb?
Mm-hmm.
It has a rat tail on it. So, right.
So just what I need, basically.
Two tools in one, right.
Exactly what I need for,
right,
my hair.
And it's like the teeth in the comb are as wide as, like, a detangle comb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually like three in one, you know? So if you're, like, limited on space, like with me, I have to travel with, like, a small kit sometime. I'll grab that comb versus three combs, you know?
Right.
We have lots of new rubber bands, elastics, ouchless, some super large ones so you can get more wrap time. I love the Planet Goody collection because it's like a way to stay looking good and be, like, friendly to the earth at the same time, because it's made with cornstarch and they just last, you know? It's not like, I don't know about you, but I've come across a lot of those, like, sectioning clips.
Mm-hmm.
And the hinges, like, the spring pops out, like,
yeah,
and then you're left with, like, two pieces. And, I mean, at home is cool, but that's really embarrassing at work when you're supposed to be, like, this professional hairstylist. The headbands are made from bamboo fibers, and they're really soft. I'm big on protecting your hairline and your edges. And sometimes when you want to even wear head wrap,
mm-hmm,
I really promote using these under that for, like, some healthy, like, traction, because I know the head wraps come off easily.
Yeah.
But those are good to, like, go under there, and they're softer and they're less, like, aggressive on your hairline. Like, what's a protective style if you don't have anything to protect?
Right.
So I want to thank you so much, Nikki, for coming. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I hope you enjoyed our interview with the truly gifted Nikki Nelms. Thanks for listening, and on behalf of the entire Allure team, be well and stay safe out there.